Well, happy new year, 1 week late. I wanted to say that last Sunday, of course, when we're actually closer to the new year. I wanted to welcome everyone and wish everyone a happy new year. And of course, as you know, we were all down and out with the sickness, and it is good to be back. We want to thank everyone for your well wishes and your prayers and your encouragement, but everyone's better. It's good to be here, and I did want to say Happy New Year. And so we're very, very grateful to be here this morning. God has absolutely blessed us with a wonderful opportunity to come before him and worship. I want to make sure the visitors among us that you know that you're welcome, that you're wanted, that you're needed. And I pray that we are an encouragement to you because you are absolutely an encouragement to us. And of course, Brother Ed there gave you a preview, and I'm sure if you saw the bulletins the last 2 weeks, what our theme for 2026 is going to be. And so I want to take just a moment here and to kind of lay out what our goals are for the lessons, the topics that we're looking at, and what we're going to examine this coming year in Walking Worthy. Of course, this is all godly patterns. And walking in the words of Jesus, we're going to focus on truth and love and that higher calling that we have in Christ. And then we're going to talk about walking in the ways of Jesus and focus on Christian living and examples of faithful living. And then walking in the works of Jesus and focus on the actions of our faith. And finally, we're going to talk about walking in the wisdom of Jesus and focus on, you know, why we do what we do. Right? So we're going to get into some of the nuts and bolts and open up scripture and really end the year, talk about, you know, why we do what we do. Right? And why we don't do what we don't do on top of that. So that's our year laid out. It's going to be my goal to kind of stick to that. I might have a little bit of overlap and repetition, but that's what our year is going to be about. We're going to talk about walking worthy, how blessed we are this day to have the opportunity to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. What a true, absolute blessing it is to be able to do that before our Creator God. And of course, as Brother Ed pointed out, Colossians 1:10, our main study verse, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's our focus for this year. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And also in that, especially in this lesson, but of course going forward also, I want you to understand that bearing fruit, biblically speaking, that phrase is interchangeable with walking worthy. Now, before we get into the three main points of this lesson here, if you'll allow me just to talk for a moment, I want to talk about uniforms. Now, if we had a Fairview police officer walk into this auditorium right now, based on his uniform, we said, well, that's a police officer, or Williamson County Deputy Sheriff, or a U.S. Marine walks in those dress blues, or an Army soldier in the uniform, we said, well, we know who they are, right? Based on their uniform, we would know who they are, what they represent, and in that, we would have some expectations from them. Right, that police officer walked in his uniform. Now we have expectations, right? Based on his uniform, right? There's a standard of conduct that we would have of that individual based on that uniform, right? I've worn many uniforms in my life, you know, Marine Corps, Army, police officer, deputy sheriff, and I know that when I was wearing that particular uniform, there were certain standards that I was called to adhere to. Right? Certain behaviors things that were expected of me and things that that I couldn't do in uniform. And so what I want you to think about as we talk about walking worthy, listen, if you're here this morning and you've been clothed with Christ in baptism, Galatians 3:27, right? It tells us when we obey the gospel, put on Christ, right? We're clothed with Christ. Now, that is our uniform. Now, there are certain expectations of you, right? Because you're the one said, hey, I counted the cost, right? I'll bear my cross daily. Lord, I've got a sin problem. Jesus is the answer. And you responded in obedient faith, and now you've been clothed with Christ. Now that's your uniform, if you will. And so those on the outside looking in, they'll say, well, that's a Christian. And now there's certain expectations of you. Certain things that you're called to do and things that you're called not to do. Right? And that's simply called walking worthy. Let's look at three main points this morning concerning that. Number one, I want you to think about having an understanding. Understanding that call to walk worthy and understand the biblical context of our main study verse here. And understand this context-wise. Now, Colossians, a good way to understand it, is called the book of control or the book of Christ. It's all about Christ being the head of the body of the church, chapter 1 and verse 18. Now Ephesians is a sister book to Colossians, where Colossians focuses on Christ, Ephesians focuses on the church. And you see a lot of wonderful parallels there, especially chapters 1 in each book. Right? And it's so like if we have that question, Lord, you know, how do I live out my redemption? Who's in control? And God saying, well, I'm glad you asked. Here's a book of Colossians. Listen, it's all about Christ. Christ is in control. And to a degree, you go through Colossians, a lot of it's about how to humble ourselves before Christ and allow him to take control of our lives. And so that's what's going on here in this book, where we have our main study verse and our theme for the year. And another passage you'll see there on the screen, Ephesians 4 and verse 1, very similar, right, of that sister book. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called. But let me back up and just read a little bit here. Our first and third points, a little on the shorter end, our second one's a little bit longer. But I do want to read this before we move on to our second point. Read it with me if you have your Bible open. Colossians chapter 1, let's back up for a little context. Begin in verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And what we see here right off the bat is we're being told that there's a body of information, right? The holy word of God. This is where faith comes from, right? God has given us a body of information that we can look at, that we can study, that we can evaluate and make a decision concerning, right? And here he calls it the word of the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, look at verse 6, also in all the world, bringing forth fruit. Remember, walking worthy, being fruitful, they're going to be interchangeable this year. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth, right? That's where grace comes from, this body of evidence. You can hear, you can know, you can evaluate, you can respond to, right? And we get to access God through that grace and truth. And then again in verse 7 he says, as you also learned. Again, there's a body of information we go to, we study, we evaluate, we make a decision concerning. We can learn it. As you also learned from Epaphras, he's the one that taught the church there, our dear fellow servant who's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spirit, and understanding. Then verse 10, which we've already read. Right, so I want you to think and I want you to consider in all of this. Listen, you're not going to walk worthy unless you understand you have a call to walk worthy. I think some people, they obey the gospel, they think, well, my call is just to show up to church a couple, three times a week and I'm good. Listen, we're not called to the minimum, we're called to the maximum. Right? And anything less is below the dignity of the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Right? We're not called to the minimum. We're called to walk worthy, to bear fruit. And we will not walk worthy if we don't understand we have a calling to walk worthy. Now let me read actually verses 10 through 14, and we're going to move on to our second point. Read this with me. Now I want you to think, what does it mean to live in alignment with God's values and reflecting the character of God? So read it with me, beginning in verse 10 to 14, or scripture reading earlier to verse 12, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, what's very interesting in your Bible, if you ever see a series of words ending in ing, those are called participles. Anytime you get a command followed by participles, He's telling you how to carry out the command. You see that there in the script? Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks. There you go, there's another participle. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You were in darkness and sin through the blood of Christ. You've been conveyed, you've been transferred. Your translation might say, where? Well, into this gathering, into this assembly, the church, the kingdom. Interchangeable. And here's what made it all possible. And this mirrors Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom, talk about Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of His sins. You want to talk about reasons to walk worthy right there. You were in darkness. He's conveyed you. He's transferred you into the kingdom of the Son of His love by His blood. We shouldn't need another reason. Number two, I want you to think about the components of walking worthy. Right? And you look there in that study text, Colossians 1, verse 10. It's all about fully pleasing Him. Right? First, this is a walk before our Creator God who determines the standards of our walk. Now, here's what we like to do that we can't do. We ought not do. Well, you know, I like this idea of walking worthy, but I'm going to walk by my standards of worthiness. Right? And so we rationalize and we come up with ways to walk worthy by our standards. I walk worthy as long as it doesn't cost me too much. Right? I'm guilty of that. Right? So this takes self searching, right? Taking self inventory. Whose standard are you walking by? Right? You see, God determines the standard by which we walk. And again, listen, we're not called to the minimum. We're called to the maximum. And let's remember the words of Jesus when He says, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." He determines the worthiness of this walk. We don't. Now, my personal application in this is what I read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. And that's the same context as when we read, walk by faith and not by sight. That's the same context down a little further in verse 17, that we are new creatures in Christ. That's the same context as you go a little further in chapter 6 and verse 2, where He says, behold, the day of your salvation is here. Right? And listen, it's God's acceptance in all of this. Now, what's acceptable to you or to our culture? God has always determined what is acceptable concerning this walk. You know, the wonderful thing about the internet, I want you to do this to get a chance. I want you to search, hey, you know, Google, give me every verse that talks about acceptance or the word acceptable in my Bible. And watch a wonderful theme throughout Scripture open up to you. This is all about what's acceptable to God. Right? Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? Eve and then Adam, they challenge what's acceptable to God. Cain and Abel, same thing. Just watch it open up as a theme throughout Scripture. It's always about what is acceptable to God. You know what? It has nothing to do with your acceptance. Period. What is acceptable to our God? As we examine these areas, we need to be honest in these areas. You know, and am I living that out? Right? And of course, Scripture tells us about all kinds of things to do to walk worthy. Right? In our worship, in our service, and you know, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Right? All of these areas. And so we need to be honest in that self-examination. Now, listen. Throughout Scripture, God has always had high expectations of His people. Right? That prophet of old, Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, says, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? God has requirements of you. Jesus said, John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a requirement. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Now let's emphasize something here real quick. I want us to think about this for just a moment, being fruitful, a.k.a. walking worthy in every good work. Let's define fruitfulness, if you will. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 in that sister book to Colossians. For we are His workmanship. You probably know that passage very well. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. In other words, for bearing fruit, which God prepared beforehand. Why? Paul says that we should walk in them. Now, I want you to note this real quick. This is what we talked about in our Bible class this morning. We need to cultivate fruitfulness. In John 15, verse 8, we read, By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And so what I wanted to note here real quick, in the book of John, there's three proofs of discipleship. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, am I a disciple, am I not? You know, right here it gives you three proofs in the book of John. Right, so you can do some self-evaluation if you're a disciple, if you're bearing, you know, if you're walking worthy. Number one, he says in chapter 8, abide in my word. If you abide in his word, you're his disciple. Right? Is that where you dwell? Is that where you live? If you don't, you may not be his disciple. And then in chapter 13, 34, and 35, he says to love one another. If you love one another, you're indeed my disciple, right? And the folks on the outside looking in say, look how they love each other. Right? Those are followers of Jesus. And then here in chapter 15 and verse 8, if you bear fruits, good fruits, you belong to Jesus. Right? So, you know, you can look at it that in the negative convicting sense, right? You know, if you're struggling in your faith, maybe you're not abiding in the word. Maybe you're not loving your brethren. Maybe you're not bearing fruit. I threw on there Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Because right here, if you were to back up, we're not going to read it all. For the sake of time, I want you to read verses 1 through 8. We're told here that in this imagery, God is a vine dresser. Jesus is a branch. His disciples are the vines. Or the branches, rather, sorry. And the vine dresser prunes us or he cleans us. If you look at verses 1 through 3 in the Greek, that's that same word there, prune or clean. Some translations say clean both places or prune, or New King James says clean in one and prune in the other. It's the same word. Right, so if we allow the vine dresser, God the Father, if we're attached to the vine of Jesus, we're going to allow him to prune us, to clean us with his word. That's the purpose of the word. Right, and over here in Hebrews chapter 12, listen. I'm not going to read it all, just 10 and 11. For they indeed, right, he's talking about chastening. For they indeed, for just a few days, chastened us, talking about our earthly fathers, as seemed best to them. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now here it is. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Remember when you did wrong when you were a kid and that belt hit your backside? It's painful, but it was for your good. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the, here it is, peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Right? The components of walking worthy, or in other words, of bearing fruit, we allow the Word of God, this body of information, to convict us, to change us, to challenge us. Right? To stomp on our toes, to be the mirror of God's Word, to show us what's wrong. James chapter 1, however you want to look at it. And if we do that, then we're going to bear fruit. We're his disciple indeed. We're walking worthy. Right? You don't get to determine the walk, the course of the walk, the standard of the walk. The Word of God does. And let it prune you. Let it clean you. You see, walking worthy includes knowledge, Paul says there in Colossians chapter 1. Now, why is that important? Well, Hosea said, listen, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Wise old Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom. Fools despise instruction or correction. You're never going to walk worthy unless you allow the Word of God to correct you, to train you in righteousness. Right? And we know, well, we should know, there's practical steps to growth, but it begins with the knowledge of God, allowing it to convict us and guide us and to change us, to challenge us. And knowing that 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, that it is God-breathed, it sources God. Right? And it comes from God, and it's profitable for us. And the purpose that Paul writes here in 2 Timothy is its purpose for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, chastening in righteousness, pruning in righteousness. And hopefully we can understand that. All right, number three, third and final point here. Let's talk about the benefits of walking worthy. First and foremost on this list, it's to strengthen our relationship with our Father. James tells us in James 4, verse 8, that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Or I said that backwards. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. What a wonderful thought. Right, and so just first and foremost, right, in our personal walk with the Lord, it draws us to him. And if you actually go to a little bit further there, right, by the way, this is how we flee from the devil. Another benefit is that we will draw people to Christ. There in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Your worthy walk, you can say. But it says they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, I love this. I've done a sermon on it in the last year or so. But I wanted to add this in here with this thought real quick. You know, talking about the benefits of walking worthy. Listen, when you walk worthy, you will draw people to Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you failed in the past. I think, as a matter of fact, if we failed a lot in the past, but then people now see us walking worthy or bearing fruit, listen, that's going to really draw people to Christ. Listen to the psalmist here, Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Listen, you're in that pit, and you recognize you're in that pit, and God says, I've got a way to get you out of that pit. And you realize that, very similar, being conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, very similar. You know, now you're out of the pit, or you're over here in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Wow, he got me out of that pit. Listen, I got a brand new song. I'm going to sing that song, although I was in that pit. And when we truly sing that brand new song, we live as if we are now in the kingdom of the Son of His love. We live knowing what we've been saved from. Listen, it's going to change our relationship with others. So number one, it's going to change our and help our relationship with God and others. What is that? That's two greatest commandments. Love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love my neighbor as myself. So just some things to consider. And also in this, it'll help us not grow weary, Galatians 6 and verse 9. We had a wonderful discussion in our class. Brother Matt brought this up. Love the comment, right? It just goes hand in hand. Right? And again, we're not walking worthy to somehow earn our salvation. That's not possible. Rather, we're walking worthy because we belong to Jesus Christ. We want to honor our Father in heaven. We want to glorify Him. And listen, when we do that, we're not gonna grow weary in our faith. We're doing something. We're staying busy. What a wonderful, encouraging thought that is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're about to wind down here and wrap this up. Something else to think about, right? And Paul here writes, now, if anyone builds on the foundation or on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, he goes on, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. And so the idea here is that our efforts in the Lord, they will be tested, they will be refined, right? Revealing their true value. Those who build with lasting materials, in other words, faithful acts, aka walking worthy, aka bearing fruit, will receive commendation from the Lord. Listen, our fruitful living serves, I believe, as a testament to the transformative power of Christ and His Word. Right? Helping us in our relationship with God and our relationship with others, drawing them in. Right? If they knew the Sean before Christ, now they get to see the Sean now in Christ and see that difference. Listen, there's so many benefits of walking worthy. Too many to name here this morning in this lesson. You know, walking worthy helps us to remain faithful in trials. James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Then finally, Matthew 25 verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful. Over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So what's our conclusion this morning? Listen, we've been called to walk worthy, and you're not going to walk worthy unless you understand you've been called to walk worthy. Walk in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. We learn that we don't determine the worthiness of that walk. That's our Creator God. And we talked about how there's real, tangible, practical steps for growth in that worthy walk. And then finally, there are benefits in walking worthy, right? Our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And so in this, we have a call to action. So let us be honest and reflect on our past walk. Now, of course, we can always do more, all of us. but just do some self-inventory and really think about where we are in that walk and what we can accomplish for the glory of the Lord this new year. Listen, we got a whole clean slate in front of us, 2026. Just think about what you can do to walk worthy for the glory of God this year. And listen, in that walk, you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes, right? But we're in this together. We're in this worthy walk, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, arm in arm, right? We're in this together to pick each other up in that walk. Now, to begin that walk, listen, you have to obey the gospel of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never put on that uniform of Christ in baptism, right? That's a call for you to begin that walk, right? To be immersed into Christ for the removal of your sins with a response of faith, right? I've counted the cost. I'm going to carry that cross. I believe. I'm willing to change the way I think and confess Christ before men, right? And then you're going to reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water. Rise up out of the water to walk in newness of life. So if you haven't done that, let's take a look at God's Word and see what he says. If you have done that, and along the way you lost your way, you went back into a lifestyle of sin, and you're like, hey, I've been wrong. I need to start over. Let us help you. Let us show you the love of God. If you have any need spiritually this morning, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.